Well, Sylvia, I'm Richard Cameron, the radio director at Madison CBC. So glad to have you on today.
Great. You know, and I must apologize. My sister will not be able to join us, Lori Martin, because she is under the weather and barely has a voice at this point. So.
Yeah, I'm not feeling too hot myself today, but I got I got recruited in any event, but that's no problem. We'll be glad to just chat with you.
Perfect.
I understand that you were or still are, I'm not sure, working over at K-Earth 101, one of my favorite radio stations in Los Angeles, up until the point where they changed the programming from old, you know, from 50s and 60s to what it is now. I think it's like 80s and 90s and so forth now.
Yeah, I guess those are the new oldies, I guess. It was a thrill to work for the legendary radio station K-Earth 101. I was there for just over 11 years, and the good Lord moved me on, but I have fond memories of it. And I think one of the things that, you know, it was great because the music was always fun, and they let us be ourselves. So it was great to be a disc jockey, a personality-based disc jockey for many of those years. And then I had the pleasure of working with and meeting one of my radio heroes, Charlie Tuna, who is just a rock-solid, stellar man. And, of course, he passed away earlier this year, and that was a heartache for many of us.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that.
Yeah,
I grew up with Los Angeles radio. I grew up with KHJ, KRLA, KFWB.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the whole thing, and Charlie Tuna and Robert W. Morgan and, geez, I could just go down the list of Sam Riddle, all these guys. But, no, I did not know that Charlie Tuna passed away. That is really,
I'm sorry to hear about. Yeah, it's still a heartbreak.
Yeah, that's,
he was a terrific man.
Enjoyed him so much. And, of course, Casey Kasem, who wasn't out here in L.A., except, you know, through the syndication, lost him. The last couple of years, he was a great guy.
Yeah. I got to meet him and work with him on different syndicated shows. He was a good guy.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Wasn't he fantastic?
Yeah. One
fantastic.
Of a kind.
One of a kind. No doubt about it. But, good times. Good times.
Yeah, definitely good times. No, I was blessed with a great radio career, and I worked in L.A. radio for 30-plus years. And loved every minute of it. And when the good Lord moved me on, I thought, okay, well, let's see what's next on the agenda, this adventure called life. Now what are we going to do? So it was a great career, to say the least. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Yeah. It's always good to move in the direction where the Lord is leading you. So
yeah,
I'm sure you have...
fight that.
No, you don't want to fight that, no. What is it? Somebody once said, your arms are too short to box with God. Although people
I like that. Yeah, we try, yeah, but just give it up already.
Yeah, give it up, seriously. Yeah. Well, so Dina and I were talking about some of the things that you guys, ladies, do. I should say, guys, generically.
You can say that. I'm one of. I'm not politically correct nor politically correct minded, so it's fine.
Well, you know, politically correct. I mean, yeah. In that context, I certainly understand what that is. I just think that politically incorrect has been expanded to include, you know, a lot of things that I never could have stomached, you know, back in the day.
Yeah.
But we won't go into that.
Yeah, well, here's one for you, though. I'd rather be, how do they say it? Something that's like politically incorrect versus politically corrupt.
Politically corrupt. Yeah, there's no shortage of that out there.
Oh, boy.
No shortage of that out there.
That's
But Dina and I were talking about the, talking about Audio Girl Ministries and I don't know, was this something that the ultrasound, was that something that you guys had a mindstorm on, or is that something that was already being done to some extent in different places and you just decided that's a great tool and we should expand on it?
Pretty much. We started the ministry in 2009 as an offshoot of our production company, Audio Girl Productions. We We do voiceovers and music for radio, TV, non-broadcast, films, videos, you name it. That's, you know, that's what makes the house payment. And
yeah,
back in the 1980s, Mother Teresa was at Vet Stadium in Long Beach. It was America's Welcome to Mother Teresa, and we ended up being in the choir. Lori led the choir that sang for that event, and so Lori had written a song for Mother Teresa, and we got to sing it for her at that event. And then afterwards, Mother Teresa called Lori over to her and gave her her blessing and told her to keep singing, and Lori gave her the words to those songs. And, of course, it was just, we were all like, oh, my gosh, Mother Teresa just, and you just, and you, so, you know, flash forward a number of years later to 2009, and I, because, so that was kind of the start of our, I should say, I don't want to go too fast here, that was kind of the start of our introduction to the pro-life movement, because Mother Teresa, huge, outspoken proponent for life, and really laid everything on the table when she spoke against abortion, and that was her talk that day. So she planted.
She is at least in France now, Saint Teresa.
She is Saint Teresa. Oh, she. Yeah,
what I've heard,
Saint
yeah, Saint Teresa.
Teresa.
Yes, yeah. Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
I'm so used to saying Mother Teresa.
Was that,
you're right. She is Saint Teresa. Saint Mother Teresa.
Yeah, it's great.
So,
I was so happy to hear that.
Oh, it's well deserved, huh? And so
so happy to hear that.
In 2009, I was at a 40 Days for Life prayer event. And if you're not familiar with 40 Days for Life, it's worldwide now. And essentially, twice a year, people commit to praying in front of a particular abortion mill for 40 days, 40 days and 40 nights, if you can accommodate that with the people in your team or your group, but as much time as you possibly can. The purpose is to pray and fast for an end to abortion in the closure of that abortion mill. And to be a presence, to be a witness to the lives lost for those 40 days, to acknowledge that by being there, you acknowledge that a person, a human being's life was lost. So I went to my first one of those, and I came back to our studio, Audio Girl Production Studios, and I was just heartbroken. I was just, It was very difficult. It's very difficult, especially your first time, because you realize you're coming up against evil. Now, I'm not saying that the women who have abortions are evil. Most of those women do not know, or they're in a crisis pregnancy, or, yes, some are aware that they're taking the life of their child. What I'm talking about is the evil of abortion and the child sacrifice that it is. And so I was, you know, just sitting and kind of, you know, aghast and teary-eyed, and I just felt the good Lord say to me, well, are you going to sit there and cry, or are you going to get off your, you know, rear end and do something? And I immediately talked to my sister, Lori, and said, you're not going to, this just happened to me. And so she said, let's start Audio Girl Ministries. And that's how it started, Audio Girl Ministries, and we got the slug line immediately. I mean, things were just immediate. Oh, a bold and active voice for the unborn. Great, let's do it. From there, we started our rosary / Mass for Life the first Sunday of every month at our church, where we were already music ministers at St. Cornelius in Long Beach. And then we started seeing who wanted to join us, and we just had a number of people that wanted to join what we were doing. And at that point, we thought, well, what's our focus? Well, we knew prayer was going to be number one, and then we thought, we knew the history behind the kind of results that the ultrasound machine gives to pro-life clinics, and that is, when a woman sees her unborn child on an ultrasound machine, the percentage is somewhere between 80 and 85%, if they were considering an abortion, will choose life. That's a huge number.
Wow.
I mean, it's a game changer.
That is a total game changer, yes.
Oh, yep. So we thought, let's do that. Let's raise money for ultrasound machines. We put out our first album, The Living Stations of the Cross, in 2011, sold over $30,000 worth of sales, which has enabled us to buy three different ultrasound machines that are in different clinics and different use, and they're all continue to save lives. And I think the way we operate, I know the way we operate is, let's try it. If the doors continue to open, we know we're moving down the right path, and let's see where this takes us, because it's our belief with our ministry is that this is really God's, and we're his pencils, like Mother Teresa used to say. I'm just a pencil in God's hands. Well, we're his pencils, and we want to do what he's calling us to do. And we've been integral in helping save the lives of over, I think it's over 1,100 babies now through support, ultrasound machines, diaper drives, supporting sidewalk counselors, whatever needs to be done to get that woman who's in a crisis pregnancy to say yes. Our motivation comes from, we want to love that woman into a yes answer. We want to be there for her, and then we want to be there after she's had the baby too. So we make sure she's got diapers and clothes and food, whatever it is she needs to get back on her feet.
That's huge. That's a really, really important part of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a front end and a back end to, you know, to the pro-life movement, and you know, I see it, you have to have that full circle. Otherwise, you're just basically you're not solving the entire problem.
Right, and
so that's
part
outstanding.
Oh, thank you. And we work with different pregnancy clinics who have programs for some moms so that they can earn while they learn, meaning that we'll supply their donation closet, we'll fill it for them, and then these moms will come in and they'll take parenting classes, and they'll to help not just give them the stuff and then send them on their way, but to mentor them and help them and help them down the path of motherhood. Which is great. I mean, it's loving each other like we're supposed to. We don't want to give them a handout just to give them a handout. We want to help them and then get them to see the greatness of helping somebody, and then they'll help somebody else. You know, they'll pay it forward type of thing.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we used to go out to Long Beach. There was a home there that was set up, and I forget the ministry was involved with that in particular, but they had a home there. That's exactly what it was. That's exactly what it was. Yeah,
yeah,
I knew you mentioned it. I knew I would recognize it.
Yeah,
and
they're really good.
And I do. Yeah, it was fantastic. And I do remember that the women that were there, that were ministered there, that they would, a lot of them would go on to continue in that ministry themselves.
Exactly. They want to give back.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be a part of the solution now. And the same thing
yeah.
on the other end. There's an organization, I'm sure you've heard of them, called Silent No More. And those
yes.
are the women and who've had abortions and are outspoken about why they wish they had never done it and how they had to go through a healing process and how they want to help, you know, women see the truth of abortion and to not have to go down that same path. But it's not just women. There's men involved in that organization as well, and they're very outspoken, and they're very helpful in showing, you know, that other part of the abortion equation, the taking of life, than the broken heart of the mom or the father denied, the man denied his fatherhood, of siblings who are denied their brother or sister, or parents denied their grandchildren. And it's a huge number of people when you think about it. It's not just, I mean, it is the 60 million plus babies that we know of in the United States alone that have been aborted since Roe v. Wade became the law of the land. So that's 60 plus. And that's not even counting a lot of the morning after pill abortions and things of that nature. But when you look at the 60 million, and now think about this, add this to the plate. Those babies who were denied life, who never got to grow up, get married, have children, and those children who were never conceived, never got to be born, grow up, get married, have children. So essentially, if you start extrapolating that out, we've lost generations of people. Generations of people. And for what?
Well, 16 million would be the equivalent of like the population of Italy or France or something like that. I mean,
you know,
that's staggering.
It's staggering, yes. I had somebody tell me that once, and it really stuck with me. I thought, wow, when you really think about it and add all of those other equations in there, the loss of all those generations of life, we're looking at it's a massive loss of life, yes.
Yeah.
I actually worked for Silent No More Awareness a while back for a little while.
What was that, Dina? Is that Dina?
Yeah,
that's
here.
Dina.
Hi, Dina. How are you?
So, yeah, I actually work for Silent No More Awareness. and, you know, went out and gave talks and stuff like that. And, you know, got to know Georgia a little bit. She's been the moral awareness. And,
you know, Dina, unfortunately, it's kind of a bad connection. I can't hear. I can hear what you're saying, but I can't make out the words.
Okay.
Yeah, Dina, we're having a little trouble with your phone connection. How about you, why don't you go ahead and, yeah, call back in, see if we can get a better,
okay.
You know, a better, yeah.
Okay. Phone I'm glad connection. It wasn't just me. I thought, is it my hearing?
No.
Modern technology. Drives me crazy
sometimes. Well, that's the thing that, you know, the phone aspect of this is the most unpredictable in terms of what you're going to get. Internet radio. The terrestrial radio deal is still the gold standard as far as reliability.
It is, but it's not as adventurous anymore. And
it doesn't have the adventure
aspect, except talk radio. I'll give them that. The internet radio is more adventurous, definitely.
Well, it is. And that's true. And, you know, when it's not as driven by the demands of advertisers, you know, you can get into things that require a little bit more. Well, that's right. And you can delve into things that require a little bit more, detailed information than would go on a bumper sticker. And
sure, you don't have to hit a hard break.
No, we don't.
Speaking of a break, how about I do a commercial for Audio Girl Ministries right now while we wait for Dina?
Please do. That'd be wonderful. Yes.
Okay. So it'd be great if, either while you're listening to the show or the podcast or write this down and visit later. It's called We Are Audio Girl Ministries.com. AudioGirlMinistries.com. So visit our website. The first thing you'll pop up on your desktop is a really cute little baby. And I pop it up daily while I'm working so I can put a smile on my face. But we've got plenty of information there, different action steps you can take, different knowledge steps you can take. You can find out about our really cool app called the Power of Seven app. It's effective pro-life replies to 7 common pro-abortion arguments. We've got links to where you can find it on iTunes and Google. But the Power of Seven is endorsed by a whole bunch of pro-lifers, and it's free. So there's no reason for you not to visit audiogrowministries.com, go to the knowledge page, and get the Power of Seven app. Because the next time you're in a conversation with someone who's pro-abortion and they bring up one of their lame excuses, you can go, hold on a second, and take a look at the app and go, you know, here's something you should know. It's a handy little tool, and it's free. The Power of Seven app at audiogirlministries.com. I don't think I did that in 30, but, you know, this is internet radio. I can go over the line, right?
Oh, absolutely. We don't worry about that. No, not at all.
Okay, cool.
Not at all. And that's fantastic, and that's really something. Correct me if my impression here is wrong, but I get the feeling that for people out there that are in despair about, you know, the political scene of where, you know, social conservatism is going one direction or another, and, you know, lack of influence on the, lawmakers and so forth, and the sort of people that are getting elected. But there really, really are, there's another avenue to defeat, you know, the abortion culture. And that is a lot of what you are, you know, what we've been talking about and what you've been describing.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Richard. Our ministry's focus is not to change the law. Of course, would we like that to change? Absolutely.
Sure.
If Roe v. Wade wasn't the law of the land, abortions would fall dramatically in the United States. But it is the law of the land. But we're focused on changing hearts and minds. And
that's right.
Actually, more and more Americans are coming on board and saying they don't agree with abortion and they are pro-life. And the younger generation is probably, of all of us, the most pro-life generation because they recognize that a third of their generation is gone. is gone. And when you talk to the younger generation and you present the facts to them, they're quick to see that, you know, the old "when does life begin" argument is silly. There's only one place life can begin, and that's at the beginning. You know, people say, well, it doesn't start until week, the third month, I guess, or it doesn't start until there are brain waves, or it doesn't start until the, you use whatever you want. But unless you have the fertilization step, the start, nothing else comes after that. And the kids get that right away. The young people get it right away. And I think part of the issue with the, you know, the older generations is that, you know, when you figure that 60 million babies have been aborted in the United States alone, that we know of since Roe v. Wade, the chance of abortion affecting someone we know, whether that is a woman who's had it, an abortion, whether it's a father who was denied his, a man denied his fatherhood, whether, you know, whatever the situation, we probably know someone, even though we may not.
Yeah, it would be about one in five, wouldn't it? About one in five,
right.
Thinking.
About one
yeah.
in five. Mm-hmm. So, well, and then you have the woman who's carrying that regret of having an abortion. That's going to be a difficult thing to come to terms with. Yes, there are different organizations that help women and work them through the healing process. Rachel's Project, or Project Rachel, Rachel's Vineyard. And there are local efforts that do that as well. But to get a woman or a man who may be forced a woman to have an abortion, or a mom and dad who might have forced their daughter to have an abortion, to get to that point where they're ready to heal, they're ready to deal with the grief of that loss, it's not easy. That is a big step, because not as long as it's legal, they can stand behind that element. They can put their feelings back behind that. Well, it's legal,
right.
Or they may not believe even that it's moral. But to get them to get to that point of saying, "I did this was wrong. Now what do I do?" It's a huge step for women, and I understand how difficult that would be. It's not going to be easy. But the women that have come forward and made that transition from a woman who's had an abortion and was silent about it, to a woman who's had an abortion, went through the healing process, and now is an outspoken advocate for life, is life-changing. So.
Well, I like the fact that you mentioned that men are also involved in these ministries, because it's my understanding that a good portion of the abortions that take place are, you know, the consequence of a man coercing a woman into going and having one.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that happens. Absolutely. We all know that happens, and it's a shame. And there's a woman, a great example of a woman in a crisis pregnancy. And so there's a healing process that man at some point, hopefully, will want to go through and come out on the other side and become an advocate for life and for children and for mothers and women. But to get to that point is a process.
Yeah, I, you know, I to me, I think the woman is the woman that has you know, been the victim of a of the abortion culture is sort of the ground zero of the entire situation. There will be men out there who really will never reflect on, you know, what is fundamentally wrong with the entire situation, but there, you know, there will be some.
There will be some,
and
some women as well.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier in our discussion, look, there are some women that say, "I'm going to abort my baby." They know, or so. How do you deal with that person? You still got to love them enough to try to help them understand what they're doing, and then love them enough afterwards if they make what I would consider the wrong choice. And help them heal through that process. And then,
remember, when it comes back, the children that she does have, they seem to be dealing with survivor guilt. Like, why did mommy kill my brother or my sister, not me? You know?
Oh, sure.
Why am I here? You know?
Yeah, oh, there are. There's, like we were talking earlier, Dina, is that there are siblings that might have to go through the healing process.
Yeah.
I heard a story, and, you know, I wish I could remember what it was. It might have been LifeSite News or Life News about a child who was telling his mom, where's my brother, or something to that effect. That this human, already born, knew instinctually that there was a person missing from their family, and it was an aborted baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When her children found out, they you killed our, I think it was a brother, I think it was a boy. You killed our brother, and how that affected her, because they were mad. They she killed, one of their siblings, and, they all had to deal with it, and it had quite an impact to hear those words come out of the mouth of your child,
Yeah, and there you go. More healing needs to be done. And there's a lot of healing that needs to take place with 60 million abortions. But, we continue to fight the good fight. We continue to do our work. And we're one, Audio Girl Ministries, we're one of thousands and thousands of pro-life groups out there that are doing this. And, a lot of times the pro-abortion side will say, you just care about the baby. You don't care about it after it's born. That's not true. All of us are raising money for diapers and clothes and food and cribs and however we can help that mama after the baby's born. And we're buying ultrasound machines, and we're trying to educate people, and we're, raising money any way we possibly can. And one of the new ways we're raising money is, I think I mentioned to you, Richard, we have our Living Stations of the Cross CD, which is out there and has raised $30,000 for the ministry, which is how we buy our ultrasound machines. And our new song is in honor of Mother Teresa becoming Saint Mother Teresa, and it's the song that Lori Martin sang for Mother Teresa at Vet Stadium in 1986. So that's available on our website. It's on iTunes and Amazon and CD Baby, Google Play. It's all over the Internet, but you can find links at audiogirlministries.com. It's 99 cents. And you could be a lifesaver for 99 cents and grab this song, which is professionally recorded. That's what we do for a living, and Lori's a professional singer-songwriter. Plus, we included some lines spoken by Mother Teresa at that event, America's Welcome to Mother Teresa, at that stadium in Long Beach back in the 1980s. So you get to hear Mother Teresa on it as well. So we encourage your listeners to, if you want to help out, it's a real easy way to do it. You get a great song. And the money goes, everything goes to our ministry. We are a nonprofit 501c3. Nobody gets paid. We are all volunteers. All the money that we raise goes right back into the ministry to do what we can do to help end abortion and help moms in crisis pregnancies and help their babies too.
Well, I'm looking forward to checking out that song. Tell us a little bit about the sort of the musical styles that are on the album in its entirety. How would you categorize the genre of music other than it's obviously spiritual and Christian based?
Sure. Well, Living Stations of the Cross is it's actually the Passion of Christ told in story and song. For your Catholic listeners, they'll understand the Stations of the Cross. For our Christian believers that are non-Catholic, they'll understand it as the Passion of Christ and his journey towards Calvary. But we're telling it from the point of different people who were witnesses along the way to Jesus and Calvary. And then it's interspersed with inspirational songs and music written by Lori and sung by Lori, and except a couple of them she didn't write. She didn't write Amazing Grace. She didn't do that one. but it's really a beautiful, meditative album, and it gets great reviews, and it's one that you can listen to any time of the year, not just around Easter. And it's called The Living Stations of the Cross.
We were talking about
Charlie Tuna. He is the guy who announces the station, so you'll hear him too.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you now you really got my you really got my interest.
All right, thank you, Charlie Tuna.
Yeah, Charlie Tuna.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's spinning the hits where he is right now.
Yeah.
Yep.
And you can find links to the Living Stations of the Cross on our music page at audiogirlministries.com. We have pretty much everything that you need to know about us is there on the website.
Got to check that out.
Thanks,
Dina,
Richard.
So now you've
that.
Got a better phone connection. Why don't you know? I think you probably have a couple of other things you wanted to go over with Sylvia.
First, I want to thank you for coming on. It's just been a long time. I've been trying to get you.
I know, and thank you for your patience. God bless you. Dina knows that our mom had a severe stroke a little over a year ago. So, you know, the world has turned upside down, but you carry on. You do what you have to do and take care of mama first. So we got
right. Family first.
Yep. Yeah,
totally
I know about that.
But I just wanted to ask you, like, so you saved 1,100 babies, and how do you deal with the downtimes when you're not able to save a baby, or when things don't go right, or you see this abortion culture just growing and growing? How do you deal with those times?
Oh, it's tough. It's tough. It's a heartbreak. I've been there when a woman has said, you know, too late, I already had the abortion. And, you know, your heart breaks. But we can't stay there too long. We say a prayer of thanksgiving for the life of that child now with Jesus and hold them in our hearts and pray for that woman and move on. We try to, because we do work in a very difficult ministry, and I'd be lying if I said we didn't. It is a difficult one because we're dealing with life and death situations. And you're right, Dina. The abortion culture is huge. But on the other hand, we're winning, and more people are becoming pro-life. So we concentrate on the baby saved, the good news that's happening with more and more Americans saying, no, abortion is wrong, I'm pro-life. And build on that so that one day, we can look back and say, thank God, and I mean that, thank God abortion is no longer a choice for women in America. Now, as I told Richard, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not out there trying to change the law, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But we are trying to change hearts and minds. And if we can do that, that's even better. It's even better.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
There's
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
As I was saying earlier with Richard, I was here at Cal State LA in Star Park, Richard, and one of these professors was just like losing her mind. It was just, wow. I mean, and Star was just calm and that she was firm, and that just to see her sort of spiral, it was, and I was like, this is what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with these rational, logical people. We're dealing with people just built on emotion.
It's difficult to have, when you're in a conversation with somebody, I think that's what you're saying, Dina, because you cut out just a little bit there. But if you're in a conversation with a person who's pro-abortion, things can get heated, and they can't get irrational. You just don't know that person's history and their connection with abortion. And when I was talking to Richard a little earlier about our app called The Power of Seven, which is effective pro-life replies to seven common pro-abortion arguments, and the link's available at audiogirlministries.com. But one of the things that we talk about is how to prepare yourself for that conversation. We call it plaque. Number one is prayer. Just take a deep breath, because quite often you're going to deal with a person who is, I don't know how you said it, may spiral out of control or might not be rational in their thought process on this. And so it's important to stay as centered as you possibly can. And sometimes there is no discussion available. If that other person is not even willing to have a discussion but goes straight to their ad hominem arguments and starts calling names and things of that nature, it's not even walk away. Walk
yeah,
away.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, just walk away. Some people aren't ready to see it. Some people may never see it. Some people are blinded. They don't want to see it. And, you know, that, if that's happening, you know, shake the dust off your sandals and walk over to walk away.
Is your observation that most type of people are the ones who have an abortion in their history? So that's why they seem to be more defiant than maybe someone that's never had it but just has an opinion?
I think, and Richard and I were talking about that too. When you think that there are 60 million abortions in America alone since Roe v. Wade became the law of the land, 60 million that we know of, then abortion has touched, what did we come with, up with, Richard? Like one out of five people in the United States?
About one in five.
One in five. Whether that's the woman who had an abortion or a man who was denied his fatherhood, whatever the situation is, it's a hot topic. It's a very hot topic, and you're going to, yes, there is going to be a reaction. And some people, it's an angry reaction. It's a combative reaction, and maybe that's part of their reason behind it, Dina. Yeah, it's hard to tell.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a conversation with Abby Johnson, if I'm sure you guys are familiar with Abby. Abby is former director of Planned Parenthood out of a city in Texas, became a very, very powerful pro-life advocate. Her ministry is called And Then There Were None, and she works to help people that work in the abortion industry leave that industry and find other work. We had a really good conversation about life and abortion and everything that we're talking about, and she said to me, you know, and if Catholics alone in America, if the Catholic faith alone and the Catholic believers and the Catholics in America alone would stand up and, you know, against abortion, that would be the end of it in America. Now.
Yeah, I believe that's true.
I believe that.
Now add.
And I'm a non-Catholic.
Protestants and Lutherans,
you know,
and all Christians. If all Christians would just stand up and say, enough. It would be done. Yeah. So hopefully one day. Prayerfully one day.
Well,
she was saying
all of
that
this stuff
she
builds
that
in an incremental fashion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you don't go from one end of the football. Well, if you do, I guess you throw a long pass, but that's normally.
Yeah.
And it's more like three yards in a cloud of dust. And
exactly.
We didn't get into the national moral climate that we're stewing in right now. You know, in 1 year or 10 years, it was over a process of decades and decades and decades. And
that's very true.
To
reverse
it.
Right. That's how we're going to win it back, step by step,
step by step.
Well, you know, guys, I really appreciate you letting me spend some time and talk about this, because I know there are a lot of people that feel this way and they don't know where to turn or where to look or who to talk to, or they want to get involved and they, you know, just don't know. But I encourage everybody who's passionate about life and passionate about helping women and passionate about helping babies and helping women make the right choice to, you know, visit audiogirlministries.com. We've got plenty of information there, and you can email me there directly. You just go to the contact page. And, again, this is Sylvia Amarito. I'm the executive director of the ministry. But visit there, and if you have any questions, you can, you know, I'll try to answer them for you. But wherever you're listening right now, I'm sure there's a pro-life pregnancy clinic or center in your city or your town that would love to have you volunteer and help. It can be as little amount of time that you have to as much time as you want to donate. Every ounce of time and treasure is really appreciated. So don't sit on the couch like I did for a while. This is God calling you to get up off the sofa like you did me. And he did Lori, my sister, and say, you know what, I'm going to be a part of the pro-life revolution. You'll find that it's some of the most gratifying work there is to do. And one day I figure after I'm long gone from this earth and some of the babies we helped saved end up in heaven after me, they're going to say, "Hey, thank you. Thank you.
Wouldn't it be
life,
a beautiful thing? Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Just a beautiful thing.
Absolutely. And if you think
Sylvia,
you can't do anything,
so...
here's the one thing everyone can do.
Mm-hmm.
Pray. And it can be just as simple as, "Dear Lord, please bring an end to abortion," or "Help a woman in crisis pregnancy today," or just make it short and sweet. Jesus knows your heart.
Well,
and those prayers add up.
With that in mind, I will just say that one of the things that we will do is we will we'll take the archive of this program as podcast, and we will do a little write up on it for Madison's and post that there, and we'll send you a link to that so that you can use that promotionally. But while
Thank
we're on
you.
The subject of prayer and prayer being a pulling down of strongholds, we will invite you to close the program out, Sylvia, with a prayer.
I would love to. I would love to. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear Jesus, thank you so much for this day. Thank you for the gift of life and your gift of life when you died on the cross for us to save not just me, but all of mankind, all of your children that you love. And we love you for that, Jesus. Thank you for Dina and Richard and their awesome program, helping to spread truth here in the United States of America and around the world. And we love and appreciate them and the work that they're doing. Please bless their ministry of truth, as we continue on here in the United States. And help us to always do your will, Lord, and to always be loving to one another as much as we possibly can be, to bring the light of truth and the light of Jesus to the world. In your name we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father,
amen.
And the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And one more thing. We have two articles dealing with Audio Girls already on our site. So if you go to our site, MadisonCTC.com, and type in Sylvia's name, the book will pop up, and you can read more about her until the next time. So.
Thanks very much. Thanks very much, Dina and Richard. God bless you both.
God bless you.
God bless you. Take care, and great work.
Thanks. Same to you guys. Bye-bye.